The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar for the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Rise from your grave.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Wow.
We are.
You know what? We're down under. More like mom. Everything's upside down.
What?
Wow. W-O-W. It's, you flip it upside down, mom.
I have to go to the hospital because of that joke. I have to go to the hospital. I have to talk to a doctor. We're getting my blood cleaned from that joke.
Absolutely.
We're in Australia.
We're in Australia. Absolutely. Welcome to the last podcast on the left. We're doing it. We're getting our silly pants on today, folks.
It's a relaxed fit episode. And yes. You can tell. Because there's so much more room for my butt to swim in this episode.
Absolutely. And the boys, they said, Ben, you're allowed to have a beer while recording just once.
We actually didn't give you permission.
No, not at all. No, you did not ask, nor did we give.
But so I'm drinking the Three Sheets Lord Nelson as a pale ale. Very good. Honestly, great beer here in Australia.
We have had nothing but a lot of beer. There's a lot of what you could say is we were drinking beers last night in Adelaide. So we're recording this episode. This is coming out in like, I don't know when this is coming out. This is
next
like 2 weeks.
Yeah, like a week and a half. Will we already be back in the United States or in, no, we'll all be back in the United States by the time this episode comes out.
Absolutely. I have no idea what day it is today.
No, I feel like I'm in a casino, but this is just like my brain is soft, malleable. I'll end up, you know, saying and doing things that I won't even remember.
You also were in a casino.
I did go to an actual casino.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it actually made me feel normal. Isn't that weird?
That's very sad. Yeah. That's very sad. But we are, we're in the middle of Australia. This is the first time we're recording here. So I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. We're in Sydney right now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I do like that you guys are...
At the very least, we know what city we're in.
I'm not sure if you guys are informing the audience of where we are or if you guys are just trying to figure it out. Yes, we are recording live in Sydney at this kick-ass hotel, by the way. If you do have a chance to get down to Sydney, the QT Hotel is just awesome.
It's baller.
It's so... Like, there is a tub.
There's
a tub, and I got into the tub the first day I was here.
God,
you know what's so funny is? How long did it take you to run your bath before you can get in?
It takes like an hour.
You know, for me, 10 minutes, because I feel the water. I need
just
2 inches of water. Yeah, I need 2 inches of water. That's all I need. And then I put my big old body in there, and it's all filled up.
It's like how they clean rhinos at the zoo. I can see just you just like with the water up your nipples, and you got two rubber duckies you're kissing. I'm like, oh, I wish you were a pair of breasts. And then you got your weird big feet hanging out of the top of the water.
Yeah, that was basically it. Yes.
But so far... What a magical land this is.
It really is. And what a magical land of crime.
Honestly, there are so many people who came up to us, especially because we did a show in Adelaide yesterday, which I guess is the murder capital of Australia.
Right.
And everybody's so excited to tell you that that's the fact. That they're so excited to be like, you have any idea how many rapes happen here?
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think they're the state bird of Adelaide is just a crooked smile. It's just like,
But it's such a nice town.
Gorgeous.
That's the weird thing about it is that it really is like those weird British dramas where, like Broadchurch, where it seems like the most beautiful town on earth, but there's just murder happening every other week.
But people are super chill.
Yeah, totally chill.
They're super chill, but yeah, there's obviously obviously something underneath the waters here, because as we were researching, because now we were trying to figure out what do we want to do with this for this relaxed fit episode, right? Besides just fucking enthrall you
of
with
course.
Stories from the road.
Absolutely.
Like this how is... Kissel farts.
Oh, my. I've been very good. I've been very good on this trip, by the way, from when it comes to toots. As a matter of fact, Marcus is the opposite because he hasn't been pooping.
Yeah.
But that's not hurting anybody but him.
Exactly.
Marcus can't shit on the road. Mm-hmm. And so it's been sort of a fun... It's like... I'm not going to say this. It's like hanging out with your fun uncle, but you always have to say stuff where you're like, Marcus... Did you shit last night? In a very kind of concerned manner.
Yeah, and I try. I had some. It was called like
Marmar.
It was something really weird, like a really weird cereal this morning, and it got things going.
Wow.
So okay. Thank you.
That's great. Maybe it was the crystal meth you sprinkled on top of it to stay awake, because we have been traveling. We have been traveling nonstop. I think that we just live in Australia now.
I realize we've only been here for 5 days.
Yes.
But and we got a lot more days left.
Absolutely. Perth was completely gorgeous as well. I get why people live out here. Rugby's a great sport. I watched some of that. And do you know what they have in rugby that we don't have in American football? A lot of male butts.
Yeah.
There were so many tight butts, they just pull down each other's pants, but no one laughs.
No.
They're beating the hell out of each other.
It's really
and
scary.
I'm like, that's a massive butt. And everyone's just like, play on. And I'm like, in America... I mean, it would be... Remember when Janet Jackson accidentally maybe showed her nipple?
It was
and
fake.
She's
it was
still
fake.
Banned? But that was like in America, we're like... it was a collective gasp that is still going on today.
Yeah.
It's very strange about why there's not more nude butts in the NFL. But in rugby, there are... I did see a donger. I have seen the... I watched a little bit of it. And eventually, I do feel like it does... It's kind of like jerk-off material, here,
it,
right?
It absolutely could be. It's hot guys running fast, hitting on each other.
It could be, but I'm not sure it's specifically jerk-off material.
No.
No, it's a game, Marcus. It's definitely not officially jerk-off material.
It's not like
but
an open secret that everyone in Australia is just jerking off to rugby.
I feel like it's a medium, like it's like a half-open closet door secret that you're going to jerk off to rugby because it's a bunch of wet... Men wrestling with each other, which I don't understand why there's not a ladies.
There is ladies rugby. I've seen it like multiple times on television.
Yeah, every time you say during a live show that there isn't ladies rugby, there's like 10 women in the crowd that all say there's ladies rugby.
But it's not professional.
It is professional.
No, not because why are they wearing clothes?
It's professional, you pervert, because they don't want it to be a jerk off.
Yeah, it's not the ladies wrestling channel on kink.com.
But why not?
Thank you,
because
kink.com.
It's a sport.
Thank you, kink.com.
Thank you, kink.com. It's a sport, Henry.
I'm just saying, yeah, there's a lot of sports out there that could be done with a lot more scissoring.
You know, women have done a lot of progress when it comes to athletics. As a matter of fact, the female...
Swoozie Kurtz!
I don't know who Swoozie...
No, that's the actress.
Is that a porn star?
Cheryl Swoops.
Yes.
And Cheryl Swoops, Texas Tech University.
Wow.
It's all come full circle. I'm so happy we finally got to mention in Cheryl Swoops. She was huge when she came out. She was one of the first people in the WNBA to really make it big and famous.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. The U.S. women's soccer team, they need to get paid what the men are getting paid right now, and the men should all be just working at a gas station.
Because the women actually win.
They win!
Yeah.
I love our women's soccer team.
Me too.
And they're known around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
It's U.S.'s soccer team.
Yes.
Yeah, I certainly would be known. But I feel like, we kind of went off my subject of imagining a bunch of big, burly women all slapping each other's breasts, but still kicking a big ball.
But isn't that funny how you brought it back?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Because we were like, maybe we shouldn't talk about that so much, but then we are just going to talk about it. We can do this the whole time.
That's all I think about while I'm here. I mean, Natalie's not here, but you've been a really good behavior because Carolina's been with us.
Yes.
Which is really nice to have a female flavor in the bus.
Yeah, I mean, we're not honestly, just so gross.
Yeah.
It's not just a bunch of gross dudes. Like, there's a really nice lady along with
okay.
us.
Okay, yeah. Well, let me just say that, first of all, we're always on very good behavior because I watch documentaries of how bands used to act, and we're like grandpas.
We missed the good years. We missed the good times.
And everyone was just having fun.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't happen. But
I mean, they almost died.
Duh.
But we almost died, but
and
I think
they were
it's
all
just
also in their. They were also in like their early 20s, though. Like we're all in our like mid to late 30s.
I have deep vein thrombosis.
So
we've been flying so much, my ankle is swollen up the size of a goddamn chunky New York pigeon, and at any point it could all end.
This is sadder than anything we've covered on the show.
Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun?
You know, if we want to, we can get in a little bit of Adelaide true crime.
Well, absolutely,
absolutely. But yes, so we've had a wonderful time here, and we've met a lot of great people. So thanks so much for having us in your. country, Australia.
I do want to eventually get into the Australian UFO scene, because I had a lot of people talk to me about how, like, we had a long conversation with our friend Wade last night, who lived in the outback for his whole childhood.
And you might know Wade from our last stream on the left. He is...
His name's Dankmas on the internet. Yeah, he does some awesome Simpsons videos out there, and he also did a little bit of work for our live show. He made the song for the Casey Anthony video.
Wonderful man.
Yeah, wonderful dude.
But the way they seem to explain the outback to me, which is, I mean, I don't know if it's just a pedantic way to explain to an American tourist, but it does seem to be a land of mystery. They were like, you go out there, and it's just, they're like, reality changes. It's different out there. You go out there and it's something special. You see wolves in the sky. You see gibbous. They're dancing a bit. And I'm just like, that's incredible. But they say you go out there and you can get very easily lost. You have to sing the song of the Aborigine.
How does that go? We'll ask an actual Aborigine person to sing it. We'll record it. We'll let everyone know what it sounds like.
They tell stories of their histories through song. Yeah. And they harmonize with each other. It's very interesting. But there's a lot of UFO activity in the outback. Because you go out there, and it's supposed to be the realm of the unreal.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
But I want to go. But at the same time, I wish there was a hotel.
It's very far away. It's extreme camping. And you don't want to go camping at, like, a national park in America. I don't think you'd handle the outback. You're a city guy.
I can't. Do it. I can't do it. I need my memory foam.
I know you do. But yes, we had some great fans. Many of them said they saw a boatload of UFOs. So if you're out there, you've seen a UFO, side stories email sidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Send us your footage, and then we can show it on the stream.
I will say to you, the footage part of UFO sighting actually doesn't matter, because it's about communications with the other.
Henry! No film in this camera. No, there was film in the camera in Wayne's World, the life that we're living now, because if you don't document it, I'm not going to bring up anything serious. Much like if you do a long performance, for example, and then no one is there to film it, and you worked really hard on this long performance. Maybe it was a 12-hour long show.
Oh, yeah.
Really cool for the people that were there drinking a bunch of beer for 12 hours. Really cool for them.
What they are subtweeting about it. Murderfist did. Murderfist, our sketch group of 15 years, we did a 12-hour show, 112 sketches that we did, and technically we broke the Guinness World of Records for longest sketch show.
Technically you did.
No one came.
But you did.
No one from Guinness came to record it, because we were too fucking drunk to email a person to fucking show up. And then also, there is no evidence of it. So it's like we didn't do it.
That's what I'm saying with UFOs.
But UFOs is about a personal relationship with the other side of the universe, with the dark side. Well, when we talked with Dan Aykroyd last week.
Oh, that was amazing.
A lot of what he said, he is very much a part of the nuts and bolts community.
Mm.
So when I try to bring up some of the psychic stuff, he can talk upon it, as he did.
Jacques Vallée stuff.
He does, but he's not a Jacques Vallée kind of guy. He's way more into seeing the ships, which I totally understand.
So you're actually crazier than Dan Aykroyd. Not that Dan Aykroyd is crazy, nor is the term crazy bad.
No, what it is that Dan Aykroyd was from one generation, and someone else has to take the helm, has to take ufology into the next generation of TNG. I'm ufology TNG.
Oh, right? What does that mean?
The next generation?
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I believe Star Trek. Well, I had a great time speaking with people at the bar, although last night in Adelaide, we ran into... It was a badass band. It was really good. The lead singer...
I'm going to say...
They were really good.
They played a passable cover
on
the road.
Yeah. You missed. I want to give this guy a shout out. I'm going to mention his name because I thought he was unless maybe I shouldn't. What if he's a horrible person?
I don't know. Let's wait. Okay. Because you know what it was? They weren't, it's not that they were great. They were good. But mostly, they were there. And it was nice that we were there, too, because we went to Adelaide on a Monday night, so we got out early at our show. We're ready to go get hammered somewhere because we had off the next day today. And so we're like, all right, let's Adelaide go. Let's get in a roundabout.
Honestly, dude, this Australian accent, this trip, that is the best Australian accent that I have ever heard.
I will say this. It's absolutely more impressive in person.
It's beautiful.
It's impressive. Yeah. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Subtle. Everybody here is cool as fuck. It's just one of those. We're staying.
Absolutely.
We're staying. But when we went, tried to go out in Adelaide, they're like, it's a Monday. It's like, what does that mean? They're like, people don't go out on a Monday.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, they do. I get drunk on a Monday by entire life, sure. Up until now, until literally this day.
As a matter of fact, in America, they do, like, cheaper beer on Monday.
Yeah.
Because they're like, please come.
Yeah, come and drink.
Yeah.
But yeah, we went to the one bar that was open in Adelaide.
One bar in Adelaide is 1.2 million people. So you really would think that it would be more than one, but this place was such a fun, little, like, groovy, kind of niche-y, cute place.
Gareth Everson's?
No. get Emma Bumbles.
No, we should mention the Emily's list. Something, I don't know what is it.
Hotel. It was called the Grace Emily Hotel.
Grace Emily. It was wonderful. I actually though I did accidentally make a small blooper because there was this girl there,
no.
And she was really
Kissel,
sweet. But
you've
she was
never done. That
I know
before.
A small blooper where she was like, "It's my birthday," and I was like, and she's like, "Guess how old I am?" And I'm like, "Okay, so I am going to do what is the polite thing to do, which is overshoot."
Safely. 25 to 30 years
younger. I would like that when I'm like, oh, it's my birthday. And when someone's like 25, I'll be like, yeah, no, I'm not. Thank you. So I thought the appropriate response to undershoot this to be a polite American was 34. I was like, oh, are you 34 years old? Because I thought she was at least 50. And then she almost cried because she's like, yes, how'd you know? And then I think she wanted to marry me.
Yeah.
But I really would. She. Anyway,
she.
Happy birthday, random woman.
She led a life. She led a life that gave her an experienced face.
I just thought that she would. I thought that was the nice answer. But instead, it turned out like I was the dude from the Sword in the Stone, and I was the only one to pull the fucking sword out.
You know what you do next? If you ever do that again, and that it works out just like that, you then do the Thina. Like, you go and you give her a gypsy curse.
Oh, very nice.
I always hit. Just do the hack joke.
You 18? What like, is the hack joke?
What are you, 21? You have to do that. You have to really, really, really exaggerate.
You saw this woman. I did exaggerate. I really, and this is not to criticize anyone's physical beauty whatsoever. It was just a small, it was a small blunder.
Yeah.
But of course she didn't even realize it. I think she looked, you know what? She looks great. How do I audibly describe backtracking? How does that sound?
That's why I always hit and you're like, you don't look a day over 14.
Well, while we were in Adelaide, we were gifted this fucking awesome book called City of Evil by Sean Fuster.
Okay.
And I started reading it this morning. I got through the introduction and the first chapter, and Adelaide is fucked up.
Really?
Well, this was what people were saying. I forget. Because I guess growing up, growing up in New York, all that kind of shit, it's like growing up in a technically adjacent to a bad neighborhood, right? You forget that other places are going to have really bad neighborhoods.
Sure.
And we go to Adelaide, and it's this cute city,
really,
and everybody's
pretty.
Really nice, and everyone's like, you don't want to go out by yourself. And I was like, why? He's like, you're going to get awed.
No,
like, they're going to get me? And they're like...
Might.
It is filled with it.
No, I mean, I wasn't so much the sexual stuff that we would have to worry about. I think it was more of the knife to the fucking dome.
Yeah, people said they would kill us. And then you start really looking at the surface, and I didn't realize the Snowden murders happened here.
Yeah.
And then I started researching a little bit into the family murders, which we're just going to have to do an entire episode about. If you look up the family murders... This shit's fucking wild.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is just a gorgeous, sleepy little college town on the outside, but on the inside, it's full of much more.
Well, listen to this quote from Salman Rushdie.
Salman Rushdie? Yeah. Made a quote for this book?
Well, it's actually a quote from Adelaide Writers Week, 1984.
Okay.
But it's the quote that's put at the beginning of City of Evil, which I'll recommend, even without finishing the whole thing, like, I'll recommend it. Like, this book, it's well written.
Okay.
It's got a great voice to it. It's fucking great. I would definitely recommend it.
You know, one chapter in, you know it's a great book.
Yep, I know, yeah. Well, I wouldn't say, like, I don't know it's a great book, but at the very least, I know it's worth finishing. I know it's worth reading.
Great.
But here is the quote. Adelaide is the perfect place to set a horror story. You know why all those films and books are always set in sleepy conservative towns? Because sleepy conservative towns are where those things happen. Exorcism, Omens, Shining, Poltergeist. Adelaide is Amityville or Salem, and things here go bump in the night.
Ooh, cool!
A little bit is because when we were wandering around at night, you can kind of feel a little bit of the vibe. Because it's one thing I've noticed so far, especially like here in Sydney, all these cool bars you go at in Sydney, it's all this fucking speakeasy shit. So you can't find a bar. You have no clue where it is until all of a sudden you show up and it's a good time, which is great. But they expect you to walk down these, like, Foot Clan alleyways.
Yeah.
To, like, go down there being like, I'm not going down there, I'm too pink. Well, I'm such a pink little, cute little boy. What are they going to do to me?
I mean, to be fair, I think we're the ones who look scary.
You look scary.
You know, it reminds me of that joke with Doug Stanhope when he was walking down the street and he saw a group of people and he crossed the street because they were so scary. And then when he showed up on stage, they were in the front row.
Yeah, he was his fans.
So I don't know if we were so much at risk, but...
Well, from this book, from the introduction, like, I'm going to read a couple of things, like some of the information this guy gives about Adelaide, is that he says the reason why Adelaide is so dangerous, the reason why such bad shit happens, like, there's a couple of different reasons why, but part of the reason is how it was founded, because Adelaide was one of the few main cities, actually, it was the only main city in Australia that was not founded by convicts.
So it's worse then? Well, wouldn't that be counterintuitive?
It was a free man city. No, because what are the richer classes, the higher classes? They believe that they're more important than anybody lower than them. When you show up here as a criminal, like, you're in a sea of other criminals. It's like you're kind of on the same page with everybody. This is obviously my interpretation, but it does seem like when you come from like an aristocratic background and you show up, because this becomes like a little vacation town from you, from soggy fucking UK,
balls,
right?
Yeah.
You come out to fucking Australia where it's just like you got big-titted women just coming out of the sand.
So maybe kind of the Robert Durst effect.
Yes, where you look down. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, well, what it was is that it wasn't founded by convicts, plural. It was founded by a convict.
How?
Singular. This guy Wakefield. His name was Edward Gibbon Wakefield.
Love it.
Yeah, and he just a few months before, like, kind of founding Adelaide, like founding the idea of like this free city. He had done a 3-year sentence for kidnapping a 15-year-old girl.
And he became the mayor?
Mm-hmm. In 1826, he had conspired with his brother to abduct Ellen Turner, a rich manufacturer's daughter who caught his eye. Wakefield lured the girl into his trap by way of a false letter warning Miss Turner her mother was gravely ill. Once the teenager was in his clutches, Wakefield took her to Scotland and demanded she marry him, saying it was the only way to spare her family financial ruin.
That's called dating a mayor.
I guess so. Also, I do that term, like, she caught my eye. It's like, did you throw it her way? Like, if she really was just walking. What's and then you're like, oh, no, she caught it. I don't know if she really did.
No, because you know what catches my eye? The meat pies. You know what I mean? When I saw, like, they have out here, they have those big soggy-looking meat pies.
Yeah.
That catches my eye.
It
because
does.
I will pick it up and consume it. If a woman were to catch my eye, that means I'm going to pick her up and consume it.
Oh, my goodness. Honestly, okay, what did we think? Not to get off topic, but you mentioned the beef pies. I'm going to say, I only had one. Not my favorite thing.
You only had one.
I only had one, so I need to experience it again. But Marcus, you had a beef pie.
I've had two, and I love
them.
And
both good?
I love them so much.
But he also likes blander food.
No, that's not true at all. I love spice.
He likes the
My favorite food is chicken vindaloo. I'm an expert on chicken vindaloo.
You only like chicken vindaloo.
No, I don't. I like sog pranam.
What the hell's a sog pranam?
Does it come
with the side of the gout?
That's an Indian asshole procedure.
Oh, is that right? But you had the beef pie and you liked it.
That's fine.
Okay.
Well, this is what this guy says about Adelaide. He said, because it's the myth is that Adelaide is the murder capital of Australia.
Okay.
But it's not actually the murder capital of Australia. There's other towns that have much higher murder rates per capita.
Great.
It's just that Adelaide has the weirdest murders and it has the weirdest crime. He said, in a murder town, you would only have to worry about being killed by a crazed deviant. In Adelaide, you have to worry about the crazed deviants not only killing you, but robbing you, raping you, kidnapping you, stealing your sons, sexually assaulting your daughters, murdering your wives, and poisoning your curried egg sandwiches.
Cool. Could have done without that, sir.
Well, honestly, at least they do all of it.
That's horrible.
What do you mean, at least they do all of it? That's a horrible thing to say.
For those listening, Henry just has a reflex whenever he hears something, dare I say, interesting, because you're a positive person at heart. Words like cool, awesome, but when Marcus just, that was a sentence full of horrible things.
You're like, at least they do all of it.
Well, at least they do all of it. Because it's not just murder, and then they're like, We don't steal sons around here.
Okay.
Well, let's go through some of the crimes that that Feuster talks about in the introduction. This is just like, these are like little tastes of what this book is actually all about. I think there's something like 11 chapters, like 11 really great dives into a bunch of crimes. Like some of the chapters are Z for Zorro, D for Devotion, An Undignified Death, Rise and Fall of the Artful Dodger, Pleading the Belly.
All of this are episodes of Red Shoe Diaries.
Yes, especially the rise and fall of the
Artful Dodger.
Yes, indeed. Oh, my.
Well, here's one that he talks about that happened in February of 2008. He said, Frederick Walkowski kidnapped his former lover, Donna Pridham, from her car, leaving Ms. Pridham's toddler son alone in the back seat. Walkowski forced the object of his affection into another vehicle and sped away. In any other city, Ms. Pridham would have been taken to an abandoned warehouse or garden shed, blindfolded and chained to a chair. But in Adelaide, kidnappers do things differently. Walkowski drove his beloved to an isolated shack miles from the nearest town and led her gently inside. He had filled the tiny dwelling with Ms. Pridham's favorite food and DVDs, as well as clothing he had bought in her size.
But hold on a second. So he must have... How did he know all of these things about her?
Former lover.
Oh, former lover.
Yeah, that's
lover.
What okay. I said at the beginning. Yeah,
oh,
former
I
lover.
See. Former
yeah,
lover.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He planned for them to spend the rest of their lives together, sequestered in his love shack.
Is that not necessarily, though, honestly... just marriage?
Yeah, but she
no, it's not. It's kidnapping.
Yes,
it's 100% like, kidnapping.
Yes, but like if the pastor or the person doing your wedding is like, okay, now it's time for the I do's, and the chick is like, I don't, I want to go.
I don't think so. It's Australia. It's upside down.
Oh, I see.
That is, wow, I wonder how we, that's a lot of money to put into the kidnapping.
So what is, when it comes to Adelaide, their police department must literally be like, don't litter. Like, it must be like speeding, seatbelt violations, and then like, we found another corpse in a barrel. Like, it's like, it must be the string, because it was a very peaceful, pretty place. And everywhere we've gone in Australia, they demand seatbelts be worn. Like, so I know they are very concerned with relatively minor, problems.
Actually, speaking of bodies in a barrel, in the first chapter, this guy says that there were two different bodies killed by two different groups of people in barrels found about 100 yards from each other about 2 weeks apart.
So you know for a fact the person who makes the barrels, like, it's good business.
Honestly, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the Snowtown guys, they were all about barrels, like...
They love barrels in Adelaide. What if we just start taking our podcast money and investing in barrels?
In barrels.
In Australia.
Yeah. Adelaide Barrel Company.
Honestly, that's we're leaving money on a table here.
Absolutely.
And lamb.
Oh, I love lamb.
And we buy like 10 lamps.
Also, I mean, speaking of food here, the food has been really good. Although the boys, Marcus and Henry, they did try kangaroo. I did not have it yet, but it what was that like?
It was just, it was not a preparation that it should be. I don't know. It was done, it was served cold. It was
seared.
Served cold. Ugh. And it just wasn't correct.
It's supposed to be stewed, right?
I've heard many now interpretations. As I put up a video of us eating it, I've heard many people have been like, this is the only way you can eat roux. Oh, you can't eat roux. Y'all feed it in the door. You all like do different levels of what is different, very intense opinions about kangaroo.
I'm sure.
Well, here's another one. Celebrity was on the mind of another of Adelaide's twisted citizens. Depending on when you met him and how much money you had, the concrete pumper would introduce himself.
Oh, no. We can't let that go.
Okay,
concrete pumper, that was his name?
No. I think I put the inflection on the wrong words. The concrete pumper. Like, concrete pumping was his business.
Like,
that
the
was
not... concrete pumper Wallace?
Yeah, he loves fucking concrete. That is what his job was. He's like, the best fall is you gotta get in there before it settles. Look at it. I'm like a little owls. It's a little
owls. This guy would introduce himself as either Romeo Pacifico or Richie Sambora.
That's awesome.
Richie, that is, wow.
Well, the thing is that Romeo Pacifico was his real name.
Really?
But he was a con man Richie, he was a big Bon Jovi fan.
Oh my god.
And Richie Sambora, he would go by Richard Sambora.
Richard.
Thank you.
And that was his con man name.
It's so funny. He was born with a con man name. Just go with your
Romeo Pacifico.
That's an incredible name.
Romeo, I'm Romeo the Concrete Pumper of Pacifico.
But that means there's someone in a retirement home right now just being like, the bass, is it bassist?
He's the guitarist.
The guitarist from Bon Jovi robbed me once. And they're like, how did you even meet Richard Sambora? And you'd be like, well,
actually, listen to this. In either identity, Pacifico was a consummate fraudster who swindled more than $25 million from banks and businesses. The money funded an extravagant lifestyle of luxury cars and top-of-the-line building equipment before his crimes were detected. And in an absurd twist, the real Richie Sambora had to retain lawyers in Adelaide to represent him until the courts were satisfied he had no involvement in the scam.
Why would he have an involvement in his Bon Jovi's?
There's no way I was there, man. I had to open a Cabo Wabo in Newark.
So he had to fly out to Adelaide and just be like, that's not me. Look at my gold rings.
At the very least, he had to have that weird 7 a.m., 7 p.m. conversation from New Jersey to Adelaide.
Oh, my
God. It's not me, man. He's just so much fun to say, man. Like, will you listen to Jovi? At least let Jovi tell you I was standing right next to him.
I've never seen this man before in my life.
Oh, Jovi!
Live from your grave. Live from your grave.
All right, now listen to this other one. June Bussin.
Okay.
Or maybe it's Busin.
It could be Busin.
She grew murderously tired of her cancer-stricken husband, Dennis. In December of 2003, her need for affection drove her into the arms of another man. Ooh. Though happy with James Slade, she felt she would never be truly free until Dennis, her husband, was dead.
Uh-oh.
And so, 1 month after the affair began, Busin and her lover stood over the cancer-stricken man.
He was gone.
He was dying of cancer.
He just had to wait.
Just wait.
And they commenced what prosecutors called a vicious attack of the most dreadful kind. That night, in the bedroom he'd shared with his wife, Dennis sustained 80 injuries, 56 of them stab wounds, at the hands of the new lovers. Just days later, as police investigated the crime, Busin and Slade moved into that same room together and continued their love tryst.
Ugh.
And each is now serving a life sentence.
But honestly,
just
I
wait,
don't get it. Because
then you get the insurance money.
Right.
And you can go in with, you just got your boyfriend on deck.
Yes.
For when the husband's dead. Or you could do kind of like, well, you know, you ever see the movie Breaking the Waves?
No, I never saw that one.
Which, it's fucking, it's sad. It's okay. Done by the guy, same guy you did. What was the blind Bjork movie?
Dancer in the Dark.
Yeah.
Yes.
That sad motherfucker. He made this movie called Breaking the Waves, and I believe it was about a guy. I want to say it's a guy whose dick was broken. He was paralyzed in accident.
Did he break it in the waves?
No, no.
Is it in the water?
Are you talking about the one with the guy that played Saul Star in Deadwood and Helen Hunt?
No, that's the one where he was in a wheelchair and Helen Hunt was giving fucking jerking him off because the doctor told him to.
Yeah, for therapy.
Yeah, which is, I mean, honestly, it's great therapy.
Wonderful, yeah.
But, I mean, Breaking the Waves, the whole thing is that the guy's dick doesn't work, so he gives...
Really?
Yeah, I forget, it was like yada, 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 his cock doesn't work anymore. But he gives his wife permission to take lovers.
Okay.
To make, like, to satisfy her so she'd stay. So the cancer guy at some point could have flipped it and been like, you know, just like, you guys just, like, squirk it in front of me, and maybe one of you guys can give me a tug while we're doing this. You know, you could have worked it out. You could have negotiated this whole relationship.
You know, for some reason, I don't think these people were really reasonable. I don't. They were thinking in the proper way. But you know, also when your significant other dies, you get widow sympathy. So she really just missed out on everything.
Yeah, because she could have caught a bunch of dicks, right? Just having a dead husband. You could have not just gotten a ham. You could have met the mayor. And then, I mean, yes, dating a mayor is him kidnapping you, but...
Of course.
Then you're a mayor's wife.
Exactly.
You get the sash.
That is exactly what your mother is doing right now, isn't it?
Well, I don't think that she... I don't see her grooming any men yet. Except there is a new... The guy that's building the pool...
Really?
He might be on the docket. My father's just there. He's like... Because he still has a gun.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
And my father's not... He's not a cuck.
No, he's not.
No, he'd be really upset.
No, we saw the photos of him dancing at your wedding. He can cut a rug and shoot a gun.
He can.
Absolutely.
He's legally allowed to have a gun.
Yeah.
Which he shouldn't, probably.
Well, here's another story. And remember, all these are just from the introduction of the book.
Okay.
Like, these, and there are so much more to read in here. This is one about Michelle Burgess, the queen of Adelaide's killers.
Ooh.
Her weapon was not a blade or a gun, but her body.
Oh my God.
She's a rugby player.
You know what I do? I pour the kerosene in my butthole. I tell them it's Butthole Tuesdays. Yeah. Burns them starting at the ball bag.
She used her body to cultivate multiple lovers, then played them off against each other to get what she wanted.
Smart.
In 2000, what she wanted was Kevin Matthews all to herself.
Oh, yeah.
He felt the same way, meaning his wife, Carolyn, had to go.
Got to go.
This is when you have the conversation, we need a divorce.
We've talked about this before. Just break up.
Just go.
Leave. Even if you literally, I know this is not great advice, but if you're going to kill somebody to get out of the relationship, just fucking ghost them. Get your shit and disappear. That's all you got to do. If you were contemplating murder, then is it worse to just leave?
But I mean, that's the thing when we've talked about Bonnie and Clyde for these last three episodes, you could ghost back then. Now, when you got a ghost, you got a block, you got to do the whole thing, you can't ghost anymore.
You can ghost. You get on a bus. Honestly, this is really, if you want to get out of town, you buy a bus because that's the last anonymous way to travel. You get out of the country, go up to another place, and then you, like where we're at, you get on one of these Qantas flights, you get one of these little domestic
great
flights
plans.
Where they don't even check the IDs.
Yeah.
We were in there, they're not checking any IDs. They don't do any security in an Australian airport.
Absolutely. When you go to the Australian airport, you remember that the TSA is a total sham and a complete fraud because everything's safe.
Yeah.
And they don't make you feel like a terrorist.
Yeah, there are people waiting for their families at the gate like it's 1989.
It's kind of so nice. It's wholesome.
Yeah,
but that's how you get out. You do like it. You get on a train, you get out, and you can just make up a Facebook. Be Romeo Pacifico. Make the LinkedIn profile of Romeo Pacifico. Put up your picture, and that's it.
You're literally describing how Adelaide got populated. That's why it is like the murder, weird capital of the world.
Well, Michelle Burgess arranged for this other dude that she was fucking, David Key, to carry out the hit of Kevin Matthews' wife, under her supervision.
This is the power of a woman. That's why men are just tools.
Yeah.
They are tools for women.
Look at the picture of Michelle. This is the woman. This is the woman's body.
Well, she could have killed a lot of people. Yeah.
She looks like Casey Anthony's less attractive cousin.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, she's got a sinister stare to her that I find to be quite
she must
attractive.
Got some kind of swirl.
Oh,
going
yes.
On.
This I is mean, her like, much younger.
Yeah, yeah, she's got a nice smile, I guess.
Yeah. She's got a mischievous glint. She's definitely got this groom is a fucking dead man.
Well, the funny thing is,
she certainly married a man with a mullet.
So he's
which is much more prevalent here than I thought it would be.
And honestly, I like a mullet.
I'm just going to say.
So she's got that classic poodle hairdo when women just went to the same groomer as their dog. And so it's puffy on the sides, and then she's got the mullet man there. So interesting looking people.
They match for the wedding. Perfect.
Well, she watched as her puppet stabbed Carolyn Matthews in her own home, all the while shouting, "Killer, be a man, show me you love me."
Yeah.
And the murder was a
Wait, that is so hard to do.
Yeah. And the murder was a success, but the cover-up was not.
Oh, really?
Burgess, Matthews, and Key all went to jail for their hideous crime. Undaunted, Burgess seduced a male prison guard to ensure her time in custody was as comfortable and sexually charged as possible.
I want to just see what is her approach? Is she be like, "Can't help but notice your dick's dry"?
Yeah, exactly.
"Hey, how about I get in it? I'm giving a little bit of my gulch. Do you want to explore my gulch, you sexy prison cap?"
Yeah, I have a feeling it wasn't extremely difficult to seduce this prison guard. I'm sure he was extremely desperate for any kind of affection.
I don't know. I guess you're in prison and you're watching all these people around. It's got to be difficult. I guess...
And let's be honest. I mean, the prison sex sort of trope is extremely common. Behind bars, hot and sweaty, all that kind of stuff. So I guess you just flip it in reverse. You make it a saucy situation, like a Sandals resort.
Like a Sandals.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. If you see me in jail for my long stint for tax evasion at some point, mm-hmm. I'm definitely...
No, we are forcing you not to evade taxes.
I'm trying not to.
No.
I'm trying not
to. No, you don't. You have to try to. It's easy not to.
I guess so.
Because you have to pay the taxes.
I guess. Sure. But I want to go, if I go to jail, real Southern Belle.
You're going to be a Southern Belle.
You're like, I do declare that those are my Cheetos.
You are going to get domed in more ways than one.
But if I'm charming, like if you come off like a disarming, like a young Dolly Parton in jail, and then just come to me for relationship advice.
Do you have any idea what that would... So your idea is to become weaker when you go into jail.
No, be a fun gossip.
You want to be a gossip?
How to cut hair. If I learn how to cut hair and be a fun gossip, and be like, what I heard was that Jerry's in, he's a child molester. So you better kill him in the show.
So you want to be a Southern Belle snitch.
Yeah, against other prisoners, but you build alliances.
Yeah. And just cut to you in solitary confinement, just wearing your own shit as a wig. Just be like, I'm still a Southern Belle.
Just a lady as always.
Well, Adelaide has at least three different serial murder sprees. 1980s, that's the family murders. Five young men were killed.
Well, the thing about the family murders is that it's deeply connected. They believe, it's a lot of theory built into this whole story, is that it's connected deep within the Australian government and the entertainment industry. So there's a belief that a system of men that they wanted to say, it's at least five dudes, built a community of murderers and rapists, that they would essentially steal boys and they would use them. And the way,
so like
every
like,
one of these dudes died, every one of these poor victims died of blood loss from an anal injury.
Think about that. So brutal.
It is incredibly brutal. But the way it got solved, well, one of them got solved. One guy went to jail for one of the crimes. I forget his name.
Just one?
Just one. They tried to pin the other crimes on him, but they couldn't get enough evidence together. And so it was because he murdered the son of a very famous television anchor in Australia.
Oh.
And of course, that's what gets the fucking police moving, because he's literally controlling the news.
Well, if you don't want the story to be out, I wouldn't recommend him murdering a news anchor's child.
Yeah.
That'll definitely get the story out there for sure.
But that story's fucking wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then there was also the Truro killings, which I don't know anything about those. He just lists them here, but that eight young women were killed in the 1970s.
Jeez.
And then, of course, there's the Snowden murders that we all know about, which we're going to absolutely... I know we've been talking about covering them for like 3 years or so, ever since we did Australian serial killers, but
I think
we got to cover it.
I think we literally need to do, like, I'll get the let out, like an Australian block.
Did it once, yeah.
I know, we got to do it like again, because some of these crimes are absolutely fascinating. It is just, we got to get to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Live from your grave.
Well, like I said, like I haven't got too far into the book.
Okay.
But I did read the first chapter, and I'm not going to ruin it for everybody. I want people to read this book. I want people to buy this book. It's fucking great.
Who's the author again?
Sean Fuster.
All right.
It's called City of Evil, The Shocking Real Story of Adelaide's Strange and Violent Underbelly.
Oh, my.
It was made into a TV series.
Yes, the book does have a little circle that says "as seen on TV."
No, it wasn't. The book was on TV. It was made into a TV series, like a documentary.
I thought the book was just sold on television.
No, it wasn't. It's not like a fucking. It's not like Flex Seal.
Okay, I was thinking it was like Flex Seal, and I'm like, okay, a famous book in itself.
Well, this, the one that he talks about in the very first chapter involves two women. Their last names are McGinnis and Casa Grande.
Ooh.
They've got crazy names here.
They do.
I love it. Big old house.
Yeah, absolutely. But the,
love it.
The victim in this case, it's one guy. His name was John Lillycrap.
No, it was not.
It's Lillycrap. I cannot think of any other way to pronounce it than Lillycrap.
Is it Lillycrap?
That is Lillycrap.
That's Lillycrap.
It might be, but the thing is that this guy, John liked to go by Joanne. John was like kind of Joanne was kind of a neighborhood character.
Okay.
And
was it was, Was it a transgender situation?
It was not a transgender. Joanne just liked to wear women's clothing.
Oh, okay.
And like
the
dresses up. Yeah, still like, yeah, I'm Joanne, but you know. But
like like more of a drag performer or something like that.
Well, not a drag
type thing.
Yeah, cross-dressing, but not like a not a performer or anything. Just like a really nice guy that helped people out in the neighborhood.
And he might have identified as a woman, but I don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah. We're in slippery fucking ground here. Because we don't know these things. We have to, I guess, is there a book to read?
This is the book. No, I mean, maybe he never clarified.
But really, like, what happened is that he took in these two women that were, they were lovers, but they were also hardcore heroin addicts. And so Joanne took care of him. Joanne Lillycrap took care of him for a long fucking time. Like, really, like, trying to get him, you know, lift him up. But they, yeah, they stole Joanne's camera and then demanded money.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, yeah, they demanded money. And then he's like, I'm not giving you any money. You stole my camera. And they're like, we'll buy you another camera. He's like, nope, I'm keeping the money. So they stabbed him to death and dismembered the body.
For a camera?
For money.
For the money.
For
but...
money for heroin. And the thing is that the women actually, one of the women turned herself in so she could get methadone. That's how bad she was jonesing. She turned herself in. She's like, I committed a murder. I will tell you all about the murder if you give me methadone.
Oh my God.
And so since that she just pretty much gave it, she told the police, like, yeah, I'll tell you whatever you want, that she gave the police one of the most detailed stories of a dismemberment that I have ever read in my life. It's all in this book.
Can you give some, what's a couple of
let's drop some fucking something gross in there.
I really wonder what that would be like, because we obviously covering Dahmer and stuff and all these serial killers that have dismembered people, we kind of know a little bit about it. It seems like a really difficult process.
And it was a very long, difficult process, because Joanne was very large.
It's like, really difficult to dismember a body. It takes a lot of heavy fucking material. You need a hacksaw. You need at least a bone saw. Snapping bones is really difficult.
Yeah, they used a blunt hacksaw and an axe in this one.
What was that?
With an axe.
There it is!
They said, we tried to lift her, and when that didn't work, both her legs came off at the groin. Because they cut the head off first.
Now, is that the right way to do it? I don't even know.
I'm
is
not
that
really,
right?
I'm not sure what the right way is.
Well, technically, you could disembowel it. You could get, like, you do a deer. Like, imagine like a deer, where if you could find a way to either get some kind of way to hoist up the body,
of course,
then you can let the blood out.
No, during deer hunting season, every garage in Wisconsin looks like it's Ed Gein's playground.
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
Yeah, they said the worst bit was the torso. She was so fat. Anyway, I got.
Well, I could have done without the insult.
Honestly, it's very insensitive. No.
Anyway, I got the stay sharp knife and cut all the fat off Joanne's stomach, and we wrapped her back in the blanket. And then after that, they buried the stomach and the body fat in Joanne's prized strawberry patch.
Whoa!
And then they took the head in a bucket. And they took the torso in a four-wheel drive, and then they went about 100 kilometers out the city, and then they put all that shit in a barrel, filled it with gas, and then set it on fire.
Just cut to someone eating a strawberry shortcake, being like, this is the best strawberry I've ever had.
I just think it's interesting that they say that heroin addicts are lazy.
That's a good point.
Because that's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work.
And they must have been so strung out.
They were so amazingly strung out. And that's the thing, is that after they got rid of the body, the addiction plus the paranoia, like, they were like, we're going to get caught. Of course, we're going to get caught. We're going to get caught. We're
going to get possible.
Caught. So they just went in. They said, like, well, we're going to get caught anyway, so let's just go in. We'll confess. They'll give us some methadone. The thing is, the cops kept saying, so, like, yeah, we'll give you methadone. Just keep – we need more detail. We just need a little bit more detail, just a little bit. So they just gave them everything, step by step by step by step.
Exactly.
And it's all in this book. And then at the end, they're like, all right, give me my methadone. They go, nah.
That is exactly what Dick Tracy did to Mumbles in Dick Tracy.
but with
water.
Oh, yeah,
water.
The water.
And it came out of the penis.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was, how many bodies do you guys think are actually in the outback? Oh. Unidentified, just God. Bones upon bones. There must be thousands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not all, just people just straight up buried, because that was what people, we were talking a little bit about it with various people who grew up in the outback, and they all kind of say the same thing, that technically it's uninhabited, right? There's right. a lot of areas where it's like there's no like official town. It's like little dotted real communities. But you know for a fact that there are real off the grid
totally
people living out there, and I'm certain that I mean, if you're going to get rid of a body, why yeah. would you not go drop it in the middle of the fucking outback?
Well, we had a couple of great fans that we actually met at that dive bar last night who drove 12 hours. No, I think it was 6 hours to see the show.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we literally have a town. I think it was 12,000. They said that was the biggest town within probably an 18-hour radius.
Yeah.
So that is crazy small.
And while we're here, if you are listening, I mean, I'd love to hear any other town-specific stories about Australian true crime or weird stories. If you lived in the outback or know anything about it, because I'm so fascinated.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, please stories. Email sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com.
Absolutely. We will talk about it. So anyway, so that is the book. Thank you all so much for giving. We got multiple copies of The City of Evil by Sean Fuster.
Yeah.
And we actually met his buddy Daniel, who was a professional wrestler. There were so many great people we've met on this trip so far. Yeah. Everyone is so incredibly cool and sweet.
And we're not even done with it.
Yeah,
now,
we're not,
you're done with it because this isn't the future that you're listening to, but we're at the very start of our trip.
Yeah. Yeah, we're at the very start. We're halfway through right now.
Halfway.
We've still got shows in Sydney, Brisbane, and Melbourne to go. But by the time that you, listener, hear this, we'll be done. How
we'll
long?
Be dead. Oh, I can't believe the plane crashed. No!
Actually, don't do this, because I had somebody fucking send a message to me recently. It was like, I had a dream that you guys all died in a plane crash.
Cool.
And I was like, fucking great. Cool. Great. Thank you. Yeah. Great. All awesome.
Well, I mean, the dream is not going to cause the engine to fail.
No.
It's okay. The plane will be just fine. And I actually have dreams of plane crashes when I'm on the plane. And those are trippy nightmares.
I bet.
Very trippy.
That's
nightmares.
Horrifying, Kissel.
Lean in and just let it go.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, again, if we're going to go, at least I'm not the pilot.
I guess. Although planes did. Yeah, you know what? You're right. Let's not talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to. We have to travel a lot on planes.
We've got about 4 or 5 more flights ahead of us. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, and all throughout this year.
Yes, of course. But yes, thanks for all who came out to our shows. It was wonderful to see you all. You were wonderful. And we have more shows coming up in the very near future back in America.
America, America.
So July 18th, we're going to be in Oakland. Cannot wait. Oakland, California. This is the first time we've ever been there, right?
Can't wait to go to Oakland.
Cannot wait. Of course, we got Comic-Con coming right up in beautiful San Diego.
And we're doing a thing for streams there during Comic-Con. But we have an actual show, same place we did last year.
Yeah.
At the Balboa, I believe, in San Diego, which is going to be a great time. Very, very excited. And then we're going to be in L.A., Los Angeles, at the fucking cemetery, dude.
Absolutely. Yeah. So San Diego, that show is going to be on July 20th. And then July 21st, Los Angeles. It is my birthday, so I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And I am 34 years old.
Wow.
Isn't that
wow.
nice?
You look incredible. Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
But that is going to be awesome. That's going to be outdoors in this cemetery. It's going to be so much freaking fun. Cannot wait to be there.
Mm-hmm. And then a whole I can't wait. Honestly, these are all cities I've never been to. We got St. Paul.
Yep.
Which I'm really excited for. Des Moines. What do we do in Des Moines?
Des Moines, I heard, is a super fun party town if you just like to sit and drink.
I love that.
Sure.
Yeah. We are getting good at it.
Yeah, great at it.
It's called an addiction.
Yeah. And then on August 10th, we got Milwaukee. And then August 16th, 17th, and 18th, that's going to be Atlantic City, Bethlehem, and Port Chester. And then after that, we've got our European tour.
Woo! Oh, my. Yeah. We have to leave the country again?
Again.
Yeah.
I have never been so many places. It's incredible. This has been mind-blowing.
It really has been.
Like, leaving the United States of America is just, man, it's crazy. I don't know how to put it. I've never done any of this shit before.
The funny thing is, Australia is so similar to America. If you are worried about traveling out here and be like, oh, what's that going to be like? So chill. Everyone's so cool.
Yeah.
Just if you can stand the plane ride, once you're here, it's like, it's awesome.
Man,
so.
I was just, I have no fucking butt meat at
all. Well, this is
so
actually.
For 15 hours.
Yes.
My fucking rim was just on the seat.
Yeah, we were flying down here and I took trazodone, so I slept for 13 hours, which was really amazing. The stewardess was like, impressed, which was cool as hell.
You should have been putting a mirror up to your mouth to see if the breath was still going.
Yeah, like a mafia's funeral. Yeah. I'm a mafia man funeral. But I go up to Henry and I'm like, hi, bro, how you doing, dude? I was like well rested and shit. He looked like he was just like someone who is living in Chernobyl now. Just like so devastated. I'm like, have you not slept at all? And he's just like, my asshole is on the seat. But then it turns out,
I was sitting on the buckle.
You sat?
I sat on the buckle for like 4 hours. And I kept being like, what's my fucking asshole? Why is my fucking asshole so messed up?
You were 38,000 feet in the air sitting on a piece of brass. What is it? It's steel.
It's stainless steel.
It's stainless steel.
I was balanced on the rim of my asshole on a seat buckle going 500 miles per hour in the sky.
So don't do that when you fly, folks.
No, always check the seat.
Yeah, make sure you don't have your asshole directly on the buckle.
Also, I'll tell you what, another pro tip about a 15-hour flight is don't get drunk in the first third. Because then you become hungover.
Is that what happened
by
to you?
The last third? No, I started edging toward drunk, and I realized what I was doing. As I was like, I'm a little too comfortable right now.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good call. Get drunk at the end or in the middle, then I guess.
The problem is that then you show up, and it's the beginning of a new day in Australia, and then you show up, and you're just like, oh fuck, like I'm Gerard Depardieu with wine drunk, pissing in the plane.
I bet you he sat on some buckles, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From belt buckles.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. We love you. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Hail game.
Magustalations.
And, hey, man, why don't you give Australia a try?
That's a great new catchphrase.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. Discover legendary tastes with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. It's the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs who are looking to stand out and succeed online. Everyone knows the holidays can take a toll on your bank account. If you're looking for a creative way to increase revenue and give your family and friends the holiday treats they deserve, then you need to get started with Squarespace's new feature, Squarespace Courses. If I needed to give a class on digging holes, I'd do it. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own online course. Start with a professional layout that fits your brand. Upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills. And tailor your course with the powerful built-in Fluid Engine Editor. Plus, you can charge a one-time fee or you can sell subscriptions. Turn your creativity into income with Squarespace Courses. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/left.